There'll be refreshments, in other words. If you want to bring something, please do. Jesus restoring Peter as he would each one of us. If you've denied Jesus 3 times, if you've denied him 300 times, he's going to say, I love you. Do you love me? Do you love me? And that's an open invitation saying, I love you. I want you back. So he's going to, as many times as you reject him, he wants to make sure that he confirms his love towards you, and he is faithful. We have a really good God. That transpired last week. That's where we ended up. And he continues this conversation with Peter and John, kind of in the background here a little bit. Verily I say unto you, in verse 18, speaking of Peter, when you were young, you were a kid, you dressed yourself, you walked where you'd want to go, did what you wanted to do. But when you were old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another will dress thee and carry thee where you would not, where you don't want to go. So that's a prophetic word coming from Jesus to Peter. And it's speaking of his death there. In verse 19, it tells us that. We don't have to guess or scratch our heads. This spake he, signifying but by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, a very powerful 2 words used together there. What is it? Follow me. 2 very powerful words. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be referring to John, that's how he refers to himself during the letter here, which also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? Peter, seeing that him that said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if we should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I would love the world to be filled with those books, and it is. And you and I are those books. And we talked about that last Saturday night. I got to share with the guys and be the coach on the sidelines and say, keep going, Richard. Keep going, Sim. Keep going, Bud. You know, that's all I did last Sunday night. Don't give up. You're going to get tired. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get things thrown at you. It's going to come at you, but keep going forward. In that sharing of that, we talked about us being, I began with us being the living word, being examples. And we're surrounded with examples, not only living, but those that have gone before us, the clouds of witnesses that keep saying, keep going, keep going, keep believing, keep trusting, keep going. Keep going. Keep going forward. Jesus gives something here to Peter in the short term. He says, follow me. In the long term, it's you're going to die for me. And then in between that, he gives us his calling, and that is to feed sheep. So that's pretty cool. Just in this last chapter, Peter gets everything he needs. His calling, his purpose for being on this earth, that's to feed sheep, to teach. The short term, that's when he wakes up in the morning. What am I going to do? I'm going to follow Jesus. Very powerful words of following Jesus. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Follow Jesus. There's an answer for you. This particular week, that has come very, very strong to me personally. In the midst of confusion or trying to fill in blanks because I don't know a whole story, or there's mystery going on, and there's suspicion, and things like that, is the Lord is saying, follow me. Trust in me. Follow me. I've given you a promise. I want you to believe in that. And that's been my work, and by this particular week especially, is the Lord is bringing me more and more in that direction. is to not be spend 90% of my time in worry and frustration and filling in blanks. Does anybody know what I mean by filling in the blank?
I sure do.
You understand that? Does anybody understand that? You don't know the whole story. You don't know why someone said something a certain way or why they acted a certain way. So you start to fill in the blank. You start to answer the question. Say, oh, that's because this is happening. Or they said this to me because they're mad at me. Or this is happening. So you build this whole thing. You start filling in blanks when somebody just said one thing. They might not even thought about what they said. Or they might just whatever. You know, and we spend a long time filling in the blanks and building this story up in our minds and imagination that just leads to ineffectiveness and dust settling on us. And God has really been encouraging me to follow Him, to God, take His word and to believe on that for people. So Mike, when you shared Psalm 18 this morning, I had to sit down because that was a promise last night that I had to ask God for. I don't know what's going on in this individual's life. The mom is calling us, asking for prayer. And we're, you know, it's like whirlwind, confusion, filling in the blanks. Oh, this must be happening. This must be happening. Wait a minute. God, I need a promise for this young lady. I need a promise right now for this person. And bang, the media came to me with Psalm 18. I said, all right, we're going to go there. And so Gretchen and I out on our porch, we're believing on this for her. Psalm 18. We're going to believe on this. We're going to pray it for her right now. So it was awesome to do that. And that's what we've been called to do as a body of believers. We really have, not to fill in the blanks like, what's going on with that person? What's going on with this person? And start gossiping and say, yeah, I don't know. They're kind of believe in the promises of God for them. Even if they're weak and they've gone into a place of darkness, it's not for you to sit there and spin out on. It's for you to start being strong for them. Start believing. God, give me a promise for them. There's something going on. I feel it in my spirit, but I need something to stand on. I need a rock to stand on because they might not be on a rock. And I'm going to stand for them. So we're going to talk about this sit, walking, and standing here in Psalm 1 as we engage in that in a little bit. Not yet, though. So the last thing said to Peter, Peter is the funniest guy in the scripture. There's a lot of humor in the scripture if you catch it, and a lot of it comes through Peter. And the last thing that Jesus says to him is that, what's it to you? You know? And that's when you get caught up in that unholy, unhealthy concern about other people. And he's worried about John. Well, what's going to happen with him? What's the prophetic word for him? And Jesus says, what's that to you? He needs to get back to the following Jesus. You worry about following me. The long term, you're going to die for me, and your calling is to feed my sheep. And that's where Peter's focus needs to be. So Jesus correcting us. And again, I want to thank the Lord for the correction and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there for you. Welcome it in. That means God is still working on you. He might give you that corrective word. It's like, what's that to you, what I'm doing in that person's life? What I've called them to be or do? You follow me. So it's a good word coming through Peter to us. I appreciate Peter's testimony, of course. I find it interesting that the end of John here matches the beginning. We see something in the first chapter. I like to play that memory game where you match things. Oh, I remember that somewhere. You flip the card and like, oh, where is it? Well, this follow me we can see in John chapter 1. Praise God. I want to come against frustration right now. Somebody's feeling frustration, a little bit of annoyance or distraction. Something between frustration and distraction. I want to come against that in the name of Jesus. You are rebuked in the name of Jesus. Spirit of confusion, spirit of frustration. You are made free by the blood of Christ. God loves you. He doesn't want you there. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you could simply say that I'm a child of God and that's good enough. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's a little bit of, there's a little bit of something going on right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. So in the beginning of John there, in verse 43, we see something that we could circle and make a match there. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. Oh, I forgot what, this might be the distraction. Maybe the Holy Spirit told me that. Everybody's watching the traffic go by. That's what's going on. The Holy Spirit's trying to nudge me. It is very distracting, I understand. The trucks are pretty. Praise God. So something that we can make a match there, chapter 1, verse 43. Follow me. It was in the beginning of this book, and it's at the end. Follow me to his disciples. And that's part of the testimony I wanted to share with you. And when we're in chapter 1, I shared that testimony with you from a man named Chuck Jr. who was a quad. Who was a quad and then went from a wheelchair, now he's into a walker. And I want to share his testimony with you today, okay? I shared a little bit about it, back in John chapter 1 when we were there. So I got to actually meet this individual. This is part of his blog. And it was a beautiful time. God was putting on my heart to go talk to this guy. I didn't want to be there. I was a jerk, just going for a ride with Gretchen to her family, whatever. It's all right. I'll go. I'm taking my fishing pole. You guys remember the Stoker Key a little bit?
He wasn't that close.
I'm feeling it inside, family stuff. And so I get there, and God uses me anyway, despite my jerkiness. And it's like, go talk to that guy in the wheelchair over there. And I did. And I thought, okay, here goes Pastor. Going to bless him, man. Give him some encouragement. Right. The jerk got blessed, okay? I did. He blessed me, and I was staggering under the power of his testimony, his love for Jesus. He didn't need the gospel. I needed the power of the gospel that day to deliver me from myself and my wrapped up in myself kind of stuff. It doesn't matter if you're 10, 20, 30, or 40, okay? God's power of his gospel is ready for us. His graces are new every day. Let's get with it. It's called My Walk. 16 years ago, this will probably take about 5 minutes, so enjoy it. My walk. 16 years ago, at age 21, I survived a traumatic brain and spinal cord injury from a car accident. For 9 years, I was completely confined to a wheelchair, trying to understand why I was still alive. Though still using a wheelchair, 6 years ago, I began to learn to walk again. God allowed me to see that my walk is not my own. I walk in God's grace and glory, so others may see him in me. I have life and I know my place. Humorous, or at least interesting, how life can begin to look the same again, though more has been lived through. My friends have moved on, married, bought houses, had children, and established their careers. At age 37, I'm learning to walk again. I have to smile. I'm not defeated. Other friends have passed on, divorced, have child custody battles, payments and properties, debt up to the sky, trying to fly out from under the blue of. I'm good. I am good. Life is a gift. I see it now. I know, though, that I do have some choice in my free will, either go on living or go on dying. I am learning to walk again. I have another chance. I have purpose. I am walking to live out my purpose. My walk is not perfect. I'm unsteady. I need help. I use a special aluminum tube walker on 4-inch caster wheels. Placing the walker in front of my wheelchair, I bend forward and place my feet within the leg straps of a harness. I hook the harness into the walker that supports me. My harness is reminiscent of a pair of white tighties, though actually blackies now. I begin to wiggle and dance my feet and then legs further through into the harness. I tug the harness up as far as I am able, while still sitting down. Grabbing and holding the straps together from each side in front of me with my right hand, I do another dance and kick up the foot pedals of my wheelchair with my slightly more able left leg and heel. Scooting closer to the front edge of the chair, I place my feet shoulder width apart and begin to brace myself as I lean my head forward. I line my shoulders vertically above and just beyond where the tips of my toes are. Reaching up, I place my hand on the right handle of my walker. Now, if you're getting tired hearing that, just think about, he's talking about what you did this morning probably 5 or 6 times, just getting up off a chair. He just described that, which took about a minute and a half, of what it takes for him to get up, to stand up and start moving. My legs are straight as straight. Yes, they are, fully spastic and concrete, freaked out stiff. For a few seconds, the seriousness of spasticity may be noticed through feeling my legs or the uncomfortable expression in my wrinkled eyebrows. One can bear witness legitimately to my hardened stance. Some seconds pass and my legs relax, all is well. I lift and slide my feet slightly to find good balance and start to move forward. With my feet in place, I grab the left strap from my right hand and hook it into the walker. To help my weaker right hand inside, I grab the right strap with my left hand and lean to hook it into the right side of the walker. Another dance with a good leg and a loose leg. I adjust myself within the discomfort of my harness. I coax my weaker right foot out first, usually. I take a long step to hold and stretch. After holding a moment, sometimes longer, I slide my front back, leg back, and switch the other to stretch again. It's describing just taking a step there. We'll move on now. For some years, now I have worn a yellow, half-creased and wrinkled post-it note stuck on the black lower edge of my PC monitor at home. The post-it note has a quote from Pastor Stephen, his pastor, "Purpose doesn't have a parking spot." Certainly not the most complex quote, but for me these words remain open and provoked. My thought is to do and move and make something of life, something of self, something of self for another, purpose. Living for another does give. It provides purpose. I have a life to live with purpose. If I am living a life of purpose to live for another, I know love. Love is for another. It's a sacrifice. There is no such thing as love unless it is for another. My walk is not perfect. I am unsteady. I need help. I hold on to what cannot be taken from me, love. In 1989, at age 9, I received a Bible in Sunday school class from a church I was dragged into and couldn't wait to go home. Some battles are relentless. My mother gave my older sister, younger brother, and I a choice about that time, whether we'd want to go to church or not. "No, I'm good," I said. The Bible I had been given from church went to a dusty shelf in our house and then to a Rubbermaid container in the attic for 20 years. I was good. Drugs and alcohol can only take you so far from the bottom of debt. At 30 years old, I was at my lowest, working for death as it worked on me, sitting emotionally, physically, and spiritually wrecked as ever, in my living room on the loneliest night, aimlessly slouched in my wheelchair, feeling worthless, staring at the blank TV that wasn't on, tears running hopelessly to chase the ones already fallen. With and in complete desperation, I asked God, whom I had not acknowledged before, for help and guidance. Why am I here? If there are any words to simply describe the answer, I knew absolute. Not audibly heard, but loud. Not crushing, not weak. The most super sure, supernatural, confident presence. "Follow me," I heard. The reason why I'm sharing that today. The simple instruction. "Follow me," from Jesus Christ. It's simple, it's healing, it's whole. It's not complicated. I don't know how long I remained in front of the TV in awe, trying to contemplate. It may have been 10 minutes, 2 hours, but I was changed. God knew I was ready to follow. A relentless battle, I had nothing else. I then knew my sacrifice of self was out of love for Him. A short time later, I asked my father to get that dusty Bible down from within the Rubbermaid container. The Bible remained unchanged. I read more and more, not getting what I thought I may have something until I came across 2 verses that I had personally held on as life verses now. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It took me 30 years to acknowledge God's timelessness and timeliness. He is making my path straight. My walk is not perfect. I'm unsteady. I need help. Many encourage my walk, and I'm grateful. I walk to encourage others in theirs. I walk a further distance moving on, content and at peace with who I am in God's eyes. I cannot lean on my own understanding of the Lord's way. God's understanding is far beyond comprehension, as far as the east from the west. I have conversations with God while I walk to help me follow. The walk is not easy. My walk will and does find peace with him and through him. I must trust in the Lord with all my heart in order to stand tall, move forward, and live full. The Lord gave me this song for my heart, so to live out in my life. Trip and stumble, step with and lifted, a walk with the Lord is sure and gifted. This walk is not perfect, I'm steady, unsteady, I need help. I believe and know my place is in, and for God's grace and glory, I walk in Jesus' name. It's Gretchen's family. Praise God. Follow me. Some of you are soldiers in here and served in the military. I don't see Roger here, but there's a few over here. Served in the military. And orders are really important for the success of the mission, the safety of lives, the function of the military. So that's one of the things that is really well understood in the military, is following orders. The ultimate thing, truth that overrides that in the military, is our Constitution. It's a document. It's a truth about our country and what it stands for and what it is. So every order that Richard gets, every order that Big Richard has gotten in the past, kind of came from that. It kind of is under that umbrella that would come through generals and sergeants and whatever else, and matriculate down to go clean the latrines. It's all tied to the Constitution. This following Jesus Christ is a directive, it's an order, and the Constitution is here, is God's word. It's his truth. And Jesus would talk about this when he was in front of Pilate. If we just turn back a few chapters there, chapter 18, verse 35, Pilate interchanging with Jesus. Am I a Jew? What is this to me? What are these things? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that it should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate said, well, you're a king then? Where's your kingdom? What's your constitution? Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. The greatest constitution, the greatest thing that overrides everything, is Jesus Christ. He is the truth that makes you free. We love the United States and the Constitution that declares certain liberties for us. There is nothing that compares. We can parallel it, but there is nothing that compares to this Constitution, Jesus himself. Truth is a who, not a what. It's a who. It's the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you enjoyed John as much as I did, going through with it with you. And we're going to continue our journey here by going to Psalm 1 today and see how far we get with that. A few minutes left today. So when I stand up here, I read the Constitution to you, not as words to point fingers, not as words to condemn, but words of life, words that are living. And it's the Word of God from the Word of God, Jesus Christ. So I desire to shrink back, to decrease, and allow him to increase when I present the Word of God. And any time that you open the Bible, I pray that you would have that same heart, that Jesus, I want to know the truth. Bring me into this place, this kingdom of knowing the truth. So in this Psalm 1, we're going to see three things here: sit, walking, and standing. We're going to parallel that to the book of Ephesians. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This past month I've been doing a lot of this type of work. Pruning the property. We had an invasion of what's called cedar rust. Went up to a cedar tree and it had all these beautiful orange octopuses that were hanging off the tree. It was all over the tree. This is about a 20-foot cedar. It's completely covered with these orange, look like what the kids play with that they squeeze. Like about the size of a baseball or softball. And it's like, wow, that's beautiful. No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. It's a fungus among us. And then it completely enveloped this tree. And like, wow, man, this is a tree that I babied. There was a big buck that almost killed it back when it was just a little old tree. You know, and I put a fence around it and get all the weeds away from it and gave it some light and made sure it had enough to get up to that 20 foot. And now I got to cut her down. I got to take it down. And in that process, that cedar blight can jump to apple trees. It's a really strange fungus. So I had to take down two apple trees yesterday. The cedar tree went down like 2 weeks ago, and I had to take down two apple trees yesterday. Mindy yesterday brought me this. Look, Dad, you got to see this beautiful yellow leaf. And it's got this beautiful pattern on it. All the veins are yellow. That's not good. That's called mosaic. It's a virus. So I got fungus and virus. I'm not going to take out that whole forsythia. I'm just going to go in there and do some surgery and remove it. So it's been a lot of that. I've dropped a chainsaw on my head and tore my pants with the chainsaw yesterday. I'm getting a little bit too old for these power tools. But I'm not too old to be still working in the Church of God and being mindful of these things that are going to take us down. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about the things, the funguses that get on us. And before the infection is to that level, I would much prefer to do this, to say, let me help you and with this thought that you've been thinking, that's a fearful one. You know, just to get in there and snip it and replace that with something, hey, I want you to trust in the Lord. Here's Proverbs 3, snip, snip. We're going to replace that, this pattern of thought that you have with Proverbs 3. Now, when I have to bring this thing out, you know, do that level of work is because this was neglected. This was neglected. We are a body of believers that need to be doing this level of work with each other, the speck in each other's eye, okay? Let's not wait for the chainsaw to be the answer or, you know, the bigger implements there. So God has called us to come together, to be accountable to one another, to confess one to another. I try to be as open as possible with you guys so you don't see something unattainable or anything like that. I am completely clay and I am frail. And one thing God has shown me is I don't get stronger. He is my strength. That's what changes. And that's me going forward is realizing that He is my strength, not me getting stronger. There's a huge difference there. You understand it as you keep going. He is my strength. The battle belongs to Him, as Teresa read this morning in Zechariah. Hope comes from Him, as was read by Tom and Maddie. Everything that was shared today. Spirit and truth, Simeon sharing, all of these things. These are the little trimming tools that we need to work in our lives and to share with each other, bouncing off one another and keeping this stuff off of us that will completely infect us. He has called us to be part of a body. He's called us to be in that body and to remain disease-free, to be a spotless bride. So sit, walking, and standing. We're going to elaborate more on next week. We're going to parallel Ephesians, the sit, walking, and standing in that, to what's being presented here in Psalm 1. If you notice in Psalm 1, it's all about do not. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not go in the path. Do not hang out with them. Do not. Ephesians is all about the do. Do sit in the finished work of Christ. Do walk in the calling that he's given you. Feed my sheep, Peter. Do stand in that day, as Jan was sharing. My hope is Christ. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow this promise that he gave me instead of this fear or worry. I'm going to make this choice right now in the midst of this attack. I'm going to stand. So we're going to get into it. I'm excited about this teaching next week. Come prepared. Maybe read through Ephesians. Read again Psalm 1. And get ready to do battle with each, not with each other, but the things that have infected us, that we're strong as a body and we're giving, reflecting the glory of God as we go out in the community. I want to thank you, Father God, for the presentation of your Holy Spirit today in our midst. It was obvious and real. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying for each one of us. I want to pray for the event tonight, Lord God. Pray for Greg Glory, who was clay just like the rest of us, Lord God, probably feeling all of the pressures and things of such an event. Lord, we want to pray your grace over him, the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your gospel will continue to do its work mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.